Blog Talk Radio.
You are now logged into GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
Are you ready? Coming from the great state of Texas, it's Atomic Dog Tuesdays and Grudge Madness.
How we doing out there, race fans? Welcome to another Tuesday of the Grudge Inc. sponsored Atomic Dog Show. Hope everybody's doing fine out there. Got a lot of racing getting ready to come up. We're going to talk about some of this upcoming races, and then we're going to talk about something tonight that I think is really need to be discussed, because a lot of conversation going on around the grudge world about the topic I brought up tonight. And most of us out this way, they call the Southwest. Sometimes folks out here kind of get lagging behind on some of the stuff we want to talk about tonight, and how people across the country, especially going out east, look at some of this stuff. But before we get off into that, we see Sharon trying to get Ernie on. So we're going to see if Ernie come on and, as always, give some of those tech tips. So Ernie, how you doing out there tonight?
Oh, Tracy, it's beautiful night tonight in South Carolina. It is nice. It's cool. Man, summer's over, thank goodness.
That's a good thing. It's starting to cool down.
It's been a hot, wet summer, so now maybe it'll cool down a little bit and we can get back to racing good.
I heard that. Well, what do you got on your mind? What's your comfort car fixed? What do you got for us tonight, Ernie?
Well, a couple of things I want to go over. One is servicing your solenoids. It doesn't matter if your nitrous solenoid, your gas solenoid, they're both made the same. Now, one thing you cannot do, you cannot swap the coils on solenoids. Make sure that your nitrous solenoid is always on the nitrous coil is on the nitrous solenoid. The strength of that coil is a whole lot more because it's operating under a higher pressure, so it has to be strong enough to open it up. Now, to service your solenoid, and don't be afraid of these things, they're pretty simple. Undo the nut on top of the solenoid. Take the nut, set it aside. The coil will slide straight up, no problem, and you can just set it aside. Now, a little trick if you don't have a solenoid wrench is put the nut back on the tower. Then take the nut off the gas solenoid and screw it on top of it and lock those two together. Then you can use a wrench on the bottom nut to unscrew the tower. It's not on there very tight. Should come right up. Inside of that tower is a piston that's got a little spring on it. Now, it's not under a lot of tension, so it's not going to take off. Just tip the coil back. You hold it in with your finger and look at the seat of the piston. That's the part you'll be looking at. And what you want to look is the condition of it. Is there any trash on it? Is there any metal in it? Is the tip of it being extruded out because of the high pressures? If the tip is extruded out, it'll affect the nitrous flow going into your motor, causing your motor to run rich, and you'll start chasing a problem that you haven't found. Now, taking this thing apart, one thing you never do, never put a pair of pliers on that tower to take it apart. That's a hollow stainless steel tower, and it is very fragile. If you put a pair of pliers on it thinking you're going to get by, you're going to crush it, and any little dent on that tower will cause the solenoid either not to work or to hang wide open. So do not use a pair of pliers. It's extremely important. Putting it back together, just put your piston and spring into the tower, lay it on top of the solenoid, put it in, hand tighten it down. It's very fine thread, so don't force it. Make sure you don't cross-thread it. With the two nuts that are still on there, now use the top nut to run it down and just pull it snug. Take the nuts off, put your coil on, you're done. On the gas solenoid, do the same thing, except what you want to look for now is on the end of the piston, look at it, and what you're looking for is any swelling of it, any cuts on it. Of course, trash is also one of the things you want to look at. But in today's fuels, they're using a lot of ethanol. Now, we're talking about pump fuels for the street guys or somebody that may be racing their car using pump gas. And these ethanols that are in the fuel will cause the neoprene seats in the earlier solenoids to start swelling up, and they will swell up to the point where they stop the solenoid from flowing anything. So check them, feel them. Do they feel rounded? They should be nice and flat. If they're rounded at all, they're not any good. Check them for any cuts. If there's any cut in them, they're not any good. If everything checks out good, set them back together, tighten them up as you did before. They're ready to run, except let's service the filters that are on your nitrous system. If you've got those little blue fittings with the mosquito net in the end of them, you want to pull those out, clean them, and put them back in. And when you put all that stuff back together, do not use Teflon tape. Go to Lowe's, go to any place that sells regular plumbing sealant. It comes in a can, dip it in, just use the brush, put a little on there, screw it down. Teflon tape, when it's screwed in on a fitting, it cuts up in thousands of pieces, and it'll push them down into the solenoid. And when they get in there, it'll get into your nitrous system and will cause the nitrous solenoids to hang open, the fuel solenoids to leak. And if you've got those filters in line, it'll stop those things completely up with just one of the finest little pieces you've got. So these are the things you need to check. And it's that time of the year. These are simple things that every, you know, you need to touch them once a year to make sure everything's okay. Later on, I'll talk to you about how to troubleshoot a solenoid as far as electrically. But, you know, tonight I think that's a pretty good coverage. Back to you, Tracy.
Yeah, that's helpful information, Ernie. You know, you got a lot of guys out here, a lot of young guys out here, and they learn and experiment with nitrous, and, you know, they probably share some good information to give some guys, and even some guys that probably been out around a long time.
These are little things that people, you know, people are afraid of different things on a race car. And solenoids, boy, sometimes they think that's black magic. It's the simplest thing to service. And I tell you what, Tracy, on your show tonight, I've done it on the dog show. Someone calls in, you think they've got a good question and answer? Let's give them a nitrous solenoid wrench. We've got them if you need them. They're $12.50. But whoever Tracy picks out tonight will get a free wrench. And I'll pay the freight so you can get it. So if you got any questions, give me ring in and let's see what we got.
Yeah, let's see. Like I said, Ernie offered to give away some. Anytime you give away some, guys, you might as well take advantage of it. We want somebody to call in and see what kind of question they got. You know, even if it's a guy who's been around running for a long time, they feel like he got a lot of experience with nitrous, and if it's something you think might be a complicated question for you, See if you can catch Ernie slipping and see if you got one on him that he don't know. We want to go to the lines and see what we can come up with in the nitrous department that may have been a problem that you hadn't heard. So it don't have to be a nitrous part. Ernie's pretty knowledgeable. We're averse. We're just trying to see what kind of portion can somebody come up with. Go ahead, Ernie. You can say something.
If somebody's got something they want to share with their experience, you know, this is a show for the racers. So if a racer's got something out there they want to share, whether it's safety, whatever it is, this is the time that you can help your fellow racers. And it's all about making it easier for everybody. Save some money, and let's make it safe. So if you got something you want to share information-wise, call on in. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so you got to push the one button. Ernie's going to give away something, and we're going to see who had the best portion that they can ask Ernie, and he got something to give away. So, hey, man, don't be shy. Push the one button. Take advantage of trying to get this filling off. Hey, everybody can use a filling off from time to time, man, and things definitely will go bad. So don't be shy. Don't hold back. We got some veteran people on here. I'm looking at you. I know who you are. Hey, man, take your shot. Shoot some at Ernie. Push the one button. And we'd like to see what you got. If Ernie can help us out or something you might have that you don't experience with it. Ernie hadn't touched on, and that way we all can learn something that might be important to us in this Brewers game, especially dealing with this nitrous situation. So we're going to see who's going to step up and not be shy and come out with a question. Remember, like you said, there's no dumb questions. The only dumb ones are the ones that you don't know and you're afraid to ask. So, hey, guys, hey, put it out there. Don't feel like that, you know, hey, you're being left out. Knowledge is important, man. So we like for somebody to take a shot and throw something out there, Ernie. You get a lot of questions, believe it or not. You get a competition load of questions on the other show because everybody's always throwing their input out there and trying to find out something that they didn't know. So, hey, push the one button wherever you're at in the country. You got a question about it? We want to hear, so.
Tracy, I get a lot of calls from all over the country from your show. So, I mean, it's reaching out there and touching a lot of people all over the country. It's an excellent show, and people really listen to you.
I'm going to throw one out there, Ernie. I'm going to throw this out based on your opinion. There's a lot of different tuners around here, but I want you to answer this the best that you can. You know, your guys run fast different ways. They try different combinations. But when it comes to running fogger system, you know, what is the advantage that you see? And I noticed a lot on the bigger cubic inch motors of running one fuel regulator versus the three or four regulators you see. What is the biggest advantage to you? Because guys that run the three to four regulator system, as you know, a lot of times the fuel pressures are different. But when you run a big system, you know, just tell us kind of what's the advantage to it? Is it an advantage or disadvantage of none at all?
Well, on your nitrous equipment, you actually need a regulator for each stage. That way, so you can tune the amount of fuel going in as a different stage comes on. The reason for having multiple regulators is, let's say your first stage turns on, the car's picking up, running good, and you're a little rich, but it's running good. When the second stage comes on, it's going to actually want to see less fuel pressure, a quarter of a pound maybe, so that when it comes on, it's putting the fuel in the motor. If it was a little rich as the first one, it's going to cause the second one to run a lot richer. So as the stages come in, you need to be able to service each stage. You can do it with the jets or you can do it with the regulator. If you're running one regulator, now this is where it can get really tricky. You've actually got to go in there and adjust the jets on each stage to bring it into the proper proportions. It's tricky. I really don't recommend it unless somebody is really knowledgeable about the jetting sizes and the flow characteristics. So a regulator for each stage, you can can dial it right in. And if you're running more than two stages, you definitely have to have two bottles. The sanction bodies right now are limiting the cars to two bottles. There is talk of going to maybe three bottles. So, you know, things are changing. If you run more than one stage on a bottle, say two stages on a bottle, the first stage is going to see that 1,000 pounds of bottle pressure. The second stage that would be coming on, since you're already using something out of the bottle, may only see 900. So that 100-pound drop in pressure is going to take about a quarter of a pound less fuel to supply it. So that's the reason why you run multiple regulators.
Okay, Ernie, well, I'm going to go live share and see if we got somebody got a question. Ernie, want to take a stab at it? As you know, Ernie, I'm open to give away giving away some anytime you can give away some and people take advantage of it. We're going to go online and see who got a question or something they might want to ask Ernie to see who got the best question tonight.
Jeff, you're my good one.
What up, Jeff?
503-3469. Jeff, your mic is open.
Hello? I'm sorry.
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing? Ernie, I'm sorry. I'm working on the car, and I guess I hit the one button. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, that's okay. Right, you know, hey, if you're working on a car, what you doing to it?
Oh, that's my wife's BMW, man. She done drove it, did something to it, and it won't start, so...
Man, I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, I am too. Just pray for me, that's all.
Oh, man, all right, BMW, you need all the help you can get.
Right on.
All right, Jeff, you put your phone on, push the one button, take your hand down. We're going to see if anybody else out there. Don't be shy, guys. You got a nitrous question or something, you want to throw it out, man, we want to hear and take a chance. Who we got, Sharon?
Jeff, push the one button and take your hand down for me, please.
Y'all better watch out. Tracy's liable to win this one himself.
I always can use solenoid, man.
Solenoid wrench is the most important wrench in your toolbox.
Move, your mic is open.
I was trying to take my hand down.
Okay, press
okay,
it.
Okay, you got stuck. You got press stuck. It. You got to ask a question.
Oh, I already closed him up. Press the button to take your hand down. Doug, your mic is open.
Hey, what's going on, Tracy?
Hey, what's going on, Doug?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was having a little problem with my car bogging down, you know, with the carburetors and trying to get the right jetting and everything. And from listening to Ernie, you know, it makes you think about things, and I'm checking everything, and for some reason I went to bed and I got to thinking, what could else make this car bog down like that? Well, something told me that I haven't checked the fuel filter coming out of the gas tank, you know, in quite some time, because the car ain't been running 2 years. And I pulled that fuel filter out today, and let me tell you, it was like cleaning out the dryer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had lint all in there, man, and I think that's part of my problem. So, you know, it just don't hurt to check on things like that. And that was a good show you had last week, you know, and the week before when I caught that live, too. I've been listening to you every week when you had the live show out there and was telling us to come back. I stayed up late for that one because that was a good one.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah, Ernie, every time you're on there, Ernie, I take all your stuff into consideration and I pass it on to the small town here in Portland, Oregon, because I went up to Seattle for a weekend and got to see a couple of ProMod guys run up there, you know, and they was putting some stuff back together and had some transmission problems and had some other guys come in and we was talking about how the tranny's not fitting in the groove in the slot and they put a bearing in there, was trying to hurry up, put the bearing in there backwards and then wondered why it wouldn't shift.
Oh, man.
They got it straightened out, you know.
Yeah. It's a little problems like that when you get in a hurry. You drop something, you put it in backwards. It's the world's worst place to repair something is at the racetrack. You know, at the racetrack, you tune it. Repair it at home.
Right. I'm going to be in touch with you, too, Ernie, on possibly getting me some new nitrous bottles here pretty soon later on because I heard you talk about that deal, but I just wasn't able to get one because that's a killer deal on them bottles.
Well, if you need bottles, you give me a call. Now, ask for me because everybody else is going to ask you what you're talking about.
I ain't going to never forget you. You know that.
Well, you ask for me, and I'll make sure you get the price.
Yeah, you're the safety guy.
I'm going to say, that's one of my things, man, safety.
I'm for that all the way. I made sure all my stuff, my safety gear and everything. That's the reason why my car ain't going down the track now, because I haven't updated my belts for this year, and I'm just going to wait till the new ones come out and then go on and run the car next year.
Yeah, we're just talking about safety things. Have y'all seen the video that happened this weekend, the guy with the 57 Pro Mod turbocharged car leaves, goes out about, and the stairwell comes off in his hands? And he grabs the shaft to try to hold the car steady while he puts the stairwell back on. Man, please. You know, when you put your steering wheel on, and I know this is a major problem to put a steering wheel on, but
no.
Jesus Christ, once you push it in place, how about pulling it and see if it stays on?
That's what I do every time. Ever since I just went to the removable wheel this year, and I've been practicing on that all the time because I've seen it happen in Woodburn. Guys hit the guardrail, and, you know, little things like that can cost you thousands of dollars.
There was a race this weekend I was at. I watched a fella pull into the bleach box, turn his steering wheel a little bit, put it back on, did his burnout, pulled up to the line, moved the steering wheel twice on the starting line. He was staged a little crooked, so I guess he figured if you turn the steering wheel and put it back on, the car will be straight. Now, needless to say, when he launched, he headed for the other lane wall. But, you know, you don't do that on the starting line. Put you a mark on the steering shaft that lines up with your steering wheel, or put you a yellow piece of tape on the steering wheel at the top dead center. Then, once the car coasts a little while, plug it in place, and then you'll know right where it's at.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay, well, we're going to go to the line and see if we got another caller. We're going to come over here and take a stab on seeing if we got a great question or try to win that filling all ranch. What we got, Sam?
Carl, your mic is open.
What's up, Tracy? Long time, first time.
Wow.
How you doing, man? I just had a quick question for the nitrous dude, man. I'm building a car, man. I'm doing a turbo nitrous setup. Is this something different I need to do that I would do? You know, with a regular nitrous setup versus a turbo and nitrous setup?
No. In fact, when you put nitrous with a turbo, turbo lag and turbo spool up goes completely away. You're making not only a higher pressure exhaust, the pulses in the exhaust change. So it spools that turbo up like a supercharger. Not only do you get the nitrous horsepower and the turbocharger horsepower, with the change in the pulse waves on the turbocharger, you pick up about 20% more horsepower. So it's a great addition to a turbocharger. Plus you're adding minus 128 degrees supercharging going into the intake because of the cold nitrous going in there. Start with a small size jet, and then kind of work your way up slowly, because a little step with a turbo motor can be a big step. So work your way up softly. Are you going to use a dry system or a wet system?
Probably a wet system.
Okay. With a wet system, install it as close to the throttle body as you can. You don't want the fuel and nitrous mixed going into your intercooler or anything else.
Okay.
Because you could get a situation where the gasoline tries to puddle into your intercooler. So get it as close to the throttle body and hold on. You're going to have fun.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, man. We're going to go to the next guy. See you next guy. We got a question, Bernie. about this nitrous situation. What we got?
Undertaker, your mic is open.
Hey, Sharon. Hey, Tommy Dog. Miss Ernie.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. I know you said stay away from the torches on your bottle. What I've done, I've installed one of those blankets for your bottle, a warmer.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to see the pressure, the right temperature, I've installed one of those on and off valves. Are those safe to have in the car, or what do you recommend?
The quarter-turn valves, definitely. They're safe to have inside the car. Now, the quarter, if you're talking about the quarter-flow valves on the bottles, not so good. Those are extremely dangerous items, and they're not CGA approved. So the quarter-turn bottle valves, I'm not a fan of that. They're dangerous.
No, I haven't altered my bottle any, but what it did, I put one of those on and off valves so I can have my bottle open so I can read the temperature on the bottle itself while it's warming
up.
Oh,
yeah, that's fine. That's wonderful. Yes, not a problem at all.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, Tracy, I tell you what we're going to do is the gentleman that we're talking about with the bottles.
Ernie, I think you have one more question real quick.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Batman, did you have a question for Ernie?
Batman.
Oh, yeah, I got a little question here for Ernie. See if he can answer this one. Man, you got a carburetor that's too big. You got a carburetor that's a little bit too big for a motor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dumping a lot of gas, but you're running less nitrous on the motor. Okay. Let me ask you one question. What do you compensate? Which one would you actually compensate? If you got a carburetor dumping a lot of gas, which one would you compensate? Would you compensate the nitrous side or the gas side on the carburetor, or the nitrous side or the gas side on the nitrous?
Well, the first thing I do is pull the main jets in the carburetor and bring them down to a smaller size. The ability to draw more air into the motor doesn't hurt anything, but the extra fuel coming from the carburetor can create a real problem. Then you're not trying to use your nitrous system to calibrate or adjust what the motor needs. But if you've got a carburetor that's running rich, you have to cut the fuel jet down to get the proper mixture. And you can get some real crazy jet sizes. That's the reason why it's easier to change the four jets in the carburetor than it is to try to fight the nitrous system to make it work.
Now, you know, that's the reason. I know that would be a pretty good question for you, though. See if you can answer.
Okay. What other question you got,
Batman? That's pretty good. I mean, that's a good answer. I mean, like you said, I mean,
oh.
I just wondered if you was going to answer. That's all.
Oh, you're trying me. Okay. I'm in. I know your song. Batman.
Okay, I want to back. Okay. All right.
Hot shot,
all right,
your
all
mic
right.
is open. Hot shot, your mic is open.
No, I'm asking wrong, but.
Okay, press the one button, take your hand down. Okay, Tracy, that's it.
Okay,
Tracy,
right,
I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight. Everybody that called in and asked a question, everybody's going to get a wrench. So give me a call tomorrow and give me your information. Yeah, and everybody that, even Batman, hey, Tracy, even you.
Yeah, get a free wrench.
I'll send you a free solenoid wrench.
But
give us a call.
Ask questions.
You tell me, guys, on Tommy Dog Show and ask for Ernie.
Yep. Ask for me and say something about the Atomic Dog Show. And my phone number is 1-800-648-7687. If you take those numbers and spell it out, that's 1-800-NITROUS. Easiest phone number to remember in racing. You know, give us a call and give me a call in the morning, and or sometime tomorrow, whenever you get a chance, and I'll mail out the wrenches to you.
Hey, we appreciate that, Ernie. It's always nice of you to come on, man, and give out these tips, man, and give information. Got a lot of guys on here. I always have a full show, and people sometimes just sit back and listen, but I hear it all the time. People come in and talk and say it's helpful. They learn something from it, so we really appreciate it.
No, Tracy, I really appreciate y'all letting me come on and share the information. I enjoy helping everybody as much as I can. So if y'all got a problem or a question, you know, give me a call. It doesn't have to be our equipment. I'll try to help you with what you've got. Tracy, y'all have a good evening. And, man, I really appreciate y'all letting me on the show. Y'all have
okay,
a good evening and a good show.
Okay, right now we're going to go to upcoming event. We got somebody on here. I got an upcoming event. If you got an upcoming event and you want to come on and talk about your upcoming event, push the one button. And if you're not talking about the upcoming event and you just have a question for Ernie, you can push the one there since he's gone and take your hand down. If you got another question about something else, push it and to bring your hand back up to the top so we'll know you got something else to say. Well, I'm going to say, since I'm already running my mouth, I'm going to say about upcoming event that I have an upcoming event going on October the 19th. Man, you know, there's a lot of guys around this way. Got some action, little side action going to be going on down at Little River Dragway. We're going to have a shootout down there. You know, all trucks. We're going to have $1,000 put in all the trucks shootout. And whatever guy decided to put in, we're going to pay it all back to them. So if you got a truck and it's not a chassis truck, it's open action for everybody that want to get in it. Also, we're gonna have a 28 tire class. There's a lot of 28 small tire stuff this way. A lot of guys don't know about. We're gonna put $1,000 up for that. And we're gonna whatever we decide to put in on top, we're gonna give it all back to the racers. So we're just trying to bring some action down to Temple. Little Raceway, man, which is my roots. We're going to do something. Plus, we got a 2-index class. We got a 660 class, and we're going to have a 580 class. And we're going to have, well, all motorcycles. You got a motorcycle you want to grudge? I see a lot of them down the track down there at Little River all the time. You got a motorcycle. If you out there, bring it to the track, man. We're going to have action. We're going to have some fun. We also got Batman on the mic. He's going to be doing the MC down there. So, y'all come on down, man. You don't have a whole lot to do, little brother. Go ahead. Who is that, Alex? Somebody trying to say something. Not mute your mic. But we can hear you talk in the background. If you check your mic, go on mute. I can hear somebody talking in the background. So, mute your mic. If you don't mute your mic, I'm going to cut you off. So, mute your mic. I hear somebody talking while I'm trying to give these announcements and events. So, we want to make sure we extend courtesy to everybody while they talking about their event or when they talking about any other thing on discussion. So, hey, man, we got some of the folks coming from Houston. As you know, we got Big D and the Bloodline crew and the Grudge is coming down, you know. Hey, the guys tell me, give me word they're going to come down and going to make action. We got some other guys that want to come down. Of course, we got Jackie D. The crew with Kenny Duke, Tony Dawn and them from Dallas. Hey, they all coming down, man. This track here is just something, man, trying to bring some action to this area. And, guys, we're going to have a good time. We're going to go out there and have some fun and let these people do what they do. So, October the 19th, Little River, small track right off 95 on it, you know. So, hey, look it up. Look at the flyer. Got the phone number on there. Give me a call. It's going down. Little River Dragway, 13550 State Highway 95. It's actually in Highlands, Texas. So, hey, guys, get ready for it. We're going to go out there and try to have a good time. Okay, with that said, Sharon, we're going to go to the line and see if anybody else got an upcoming event. And if they don't, we're going to get into the topic because I want the topic tonight to be a good discussion. But check and see if anybody else got an upcoming event. I want to talk about a race. Who we got, Sharon?
903-6383. Your mic is open.
Your mic is open.
Batman,
okay,
do you have your hand up to talk about? Do you have your hand up to talk about an upcoming event?
No, I mean actually, we do got Grudge Wars coming up right here at Slack Summer, and a little money race coming up on Saturday, man, in Dallas, at Dallas Raceway, you know what I'm saying? We're trying to make it happen down there with them. You know, I'll be on the mic, of course, you know, trying to make it happen with them.
Did he drop? No, he didn't drop.
He's still on. His mic is still open. We'll come back to him. But somebody.
Okay, somebody. We're going to go to unmute those lines. Because it's too much talk. We had 3 or 4 different conversations going on. And it's hard to hear, so.
Hold on.
Okay, so look here, I'm going to talk about, we got that out of the
okay,
way.
Stripey, hold on. Hold on, you do have a couple more hands up. I just tried to get the noise
okay,
out of the way.
Go ahead.
Okay, 469-8907, your mic is open.
I'm just listening in.
Press the 1 button for me and take your hand down, please. Thank you. Alley Cat, you have an upcoming event that you want to talk about?
Yes, ma'am. I got 2 of them. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. What's up, Cat?
We got No Way Out coming this Saturday, September 14th. We got TRE is sponsoring it, and it's done by Hot Shot. They're going to be a 580 or X275 class and an Ultra X275 class. The gates open at 12 o'clock. That's all the Louisiana guys that's coming. And November 23rd, y'all mark y'all calendars. That's the last day of HMP will be open for the holidays. And Atticat Presents shutdown. Just check your Facebook. We already got the flyer and the banner up. So we're going to put on another hell of a show. We already got it figured out. And that'll be it.
Okay, I want you to hang around when we start talking about this topic. Everybody that's somebody in racing, I want you to talk about this. This is where we get lag behind when we travel and people don't understand us. This topic tonight is something that's being talked about, and I hear it all the time out on the East, and it happens over here. So, man, I'm going to go to the next topic, and we need everybody's participation because the ones who don't participate, sometimes those are some of the same folks in the background that don't understand what's going on and how the things got to be like this and how the things get to be like that. That's because this grudge game, man, the grudge game is a little different for when it comes to people that do the class racing. And I'm telling you, I'm putting this information out here now because you're going to start hearing it. And when you go traveling out of state somewhere, people are going to try to use some of this against you. Then they're going to ask you to ask somebody, and some of the folks they're going to ask will have knowledge of this, and you don't, and you don't feel like that they took advantage of you. So I'm going to throw this out here because it's a big portion. On the nice topic, man, we got a lot of stuff that needs to be looked at. You know, hey, week after week, man, you hear this stuff in the grudge world about people with these back half. What's the true back half? You got to remember, guys, these back half classes are changing. And when I say they're changing, I'm looking at this. I'm going to take for example. A few years ago, Batman locked in with a car that we run out here in Texas that we call a back half. That same car, which has a Kim Smith-style front end, at this way is a back half. We went to Mississippi, and they call that car a chassis car. Now, I just want you to keep in mind what I'm saying right now, and I'm going to lead you to what's going on right now. Now, they called it a chassis car. Now, with all the fast backhand cars coming up now, you can have a old 2x3 chassis car. An old 2x3 chassis car, and you go out that way to race somebody, and everybody out there is going to agree to you that car is legal to run as a backhand. So what I'm saying, we got to understand what folks are trying to do and don't get left behind in this world. So, man, we got different kinds of backhands. We got the extreme-type backhands, which, you know, is a lot of cars. What they say, what's extreme? Well, the extreme, to me, is some cars are extreme. The cars like if you take the beast car, it can be classified as an extreme car. Versus if you take a person's car like around here, you take a nightmare car. Nightmare, them car around here, for y'all know, it's just a true backhand car. But you take a car and you think he can run against a car like the beast, those cars are two different cars. But you got to remember, man, when you guys are traveling, people calling backhands, and it's hard to make races. They saying they're stopping racing. People escape or whatever. So what is the true backhand to us? Why is it so much about 28, so much about 29? Why is it so much? Well, why are we hearing that so much in racing? Also, listen to this one. A chassis car versus a top sportsman versus a pro mod. Now, I just said three different things. Are all three of them are chassis cars? But they'll say one of them is a top sportsman. One of them could be an old school, just a chassis car. And which one would be a pro mod? Guys, how would we, and I'm saying we because we out here in the Southwest, and we don't want to get left behind. What is a top sportsman car to us? And I want people to push the one button and give what they think, give what they first did, how these folks now are trying to go around and classify what's a top sportsman. What can you say? How can you say it's a top sportsman? Man, pay attention to it. What can you say is a pro mod? Why are they changing them? We got guys out here that got small block. We got guys out here that got 5.3 motors. What's happening in the grudge game that's allowing folks to put information out there, which is trying to make the races even in some way? It's always going to be hard, but I'm telling you, they're grouping cars based on what's in them. They're grouping cars based on what's in them. I'm caught up in a situation with my car right now. It was the same thing. I classify my car as a top sportsman. That's what I classify it as a top sportsman. Other folks are classified as a pro mod. So you got to understand what's happening and what the conversation is. I'm giving you the information. If you have a chassis car, I don't care what it is, and if it got a 5-inch motor in it, everywhere you go, they're going to group you as a pro mod. If you got anything bigger than a 5-inch motor, just listen to what I'm saying. I'm giving you early information to be aware. If any 5-inch and up, they're going to group that foot. It don't matter what kind of car it is. So pay attention to this, guys. I'm bringing information out here, and I hope we got somebody from other part of the country that know what's going on and know what the conversation is and get on here and talk about it. At the same token, don't forget what the back half is, because there's a stiff guy out here with an old 2x3 car, and they're going to try to say that it's a back half and try to stick it on you. So I want to know, what do we think that our voice be heard? We need to give our input. We need to say what's what, because I think the big misconception came is we went out that way and we came with the Kim Smith style front end as our back half, and it was doing chassis. So, hey, with that being said, man, all the races that we have on here, we got a full show on here. Guys, I want people to push the one button, and if you classify in any one of those groups, whether it's small tire, whether it's back half, whether it's pro mod or whether it's top sportsman, man, we need to talk about this stuff because they're going to come out with different belts, and if you set certain ways, you might think you'd be able to run for the money in a certain class, and they're going to put you in different classes, and to them, it's going to be the way it is. We need to be a voice in this grudge game as well. Let's just not sit back and accept everything that they put on us. Let's put our input in. So we're going to go to the line, and anything you want to address based on this conversation, throw it out there, man, and I hope I have some guys from the East to talk about it because they know what I'm talking about. Of course, some guys out there right now in the back half world have different style cars, and we got back halves over here, and we wonder why we can't put back half race on. We got tons of back half, but only the elite, listen to me, only the elite style back half cars are able to participate. And guys that like to run, that we probably can put on a hell of a race with back half, get left there because they cannot pair up to some of these, what I call more or less extreme style back half, which is actually a new style back half. So, hey, let's go to the line, Sharon, and see what folks got to say. We just want to put it out here. We got anybody out there on the east side, out there across the country, man, weigh in on it because a lot of you guys know what I'm talking about. They talk about it all the time. Who we got?
Okay, guys, let's do this. I had to close up some mics because there was some background noise. So if I've come to you already because you had your hand up, do me a favor, press the one button, take your hand down, and then press the one button and put your hands back up. That way I'll know you're ready to talk. Because I closed all the mics because of the background noise. Okay, one person did it. Go ahead and open up that mic. Batman, your mic is open.
Go ahead, Batman. We can't hear you if you're talking, Batman. We can't hear you if you're talking.
Check and see if your phone is on mute, Batman.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you now. You got the music in the background you turned down.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I found out the truth about that when we went down to Hattiesburg, man. Man, I was on the Grudge show. I was on Grudge Inc. last night talking to the dog, right? Man, I'm going to tell you the reason why dogs didn't really want to run, man. See, they had already knew that they called back down to Dallas, and they knew somebody that was in Dallas that knew how fast their car was. And they knew they was already outnumbered from the jump start. And that's the reason why they didn't run. They made the excuse like it was a chassis car, and that really wasn't what it was. He was just out of line, and they wanted to make an excuse. I found that out last night on the Grudge Inc. show last night because I talked to him, and I knew when I pulled in the gate, Pro Side Joe looked at the car and he even said it himself when I was at the gate. Man, we not finna run that car, man. That man cannot run that car. But see, Pro Side Joe already knew how fast the car was, even before we even got down there. But to make a long story short on that anyway, like I said, man, you know, just like I told him, you know, that Kim Smith South Front End, you know, that's what everybody run in Texas, and we wasn't the first one ever had it. It's been out for a long time ago. And like I told them, guys up there, they're just behind time, period, you know. But like I said, once again, man, you know, I really believe it has a lot to do with just how fast a guy really is, because a guy can have a chassis car and be slow as hell, man, you know. And if the guy knew what times he was running, if a chassis car was running 540, 530s, and the guy knew he was running 490, 480s, he'll jump right on top of that chassis car, man. And I believe, like I said, it really has to do with how fast a car really is, man. Because I think that's what it all boils down to, man. I mean, everybody got a different style of cars, different types of cars, and what they put in a car, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But once again, like I said, it has to do with how fast a car is, man. Because I guarantee you, like I said, if you had a chassis car and you was running 390s, 380s, Atomic Dogs, and a guy knew that you was running there, he's not going to fool with you. But you get your car to run at 430. Get your car to run at 450, 460. They're going to jump all over you. And you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, let me put this out there. And let's take, for instance, we got a lot of backhand cars around here. But if you notice, around here when we do races and we throw the backhand in there, we're getting only 4 or 5 back half cars, but we probably have tons of back half cars. So what I'm saying is this. You can travel outside of Texas, you'll get more races with a back half cars, but you got a lot of back half cars around here. You won't get many. If you put a race on a back half, you're not going to get many, for the simple reason is You know, guys got different engine combinations, so they don't feel like they compare up. So we have a lot of backhand cars that won't step up to the plate because they can't run with the Birdman, the Jekyll and Hyde, the motion
yeah.
race. You know, so we got cars like, man, it's like Nightmare car. We got cars like Travis Horton. You got cars like that. How can you group these cars? This is what's happening. I'm just trying to give you what's happening, man. A lot of folks around here might not understand it, but I'm telling you, it's happening, and people trying to travel, and this is what's going to be coming of the norm. A lot of the Travis Owens, the Nightmares, you know, those guys, you know, I have a hard time running their car anywhere outside of Texas, so how they grouping them? So I'm trying to just bring out what is it we can do to make our shows here for all these backhand we got done.
Well,
the thing is,
like I said, it's not for us to try to do because, like I said, maybe my backhand is faster than theirs.
No, we have a backhand race right today. I guarantee it's probably more than 20, 30 backhands around here between Dallas, Houston, and everything. Probably more than that. But you put a backhand race together, you're only going to get how many people are actually going to get in that backhand race if you come to that race and you see Jekyll Hyde, Birdman Motion, showing up racing. How many other people actually going to go and say, man, everybody put in $100, everybody at $200? How many people actually get in it?
I mean, like you said, I mean, the question that you asked is kind of hard to answer because like I said,
what I'm trying to get you to see is what's happening is everything is going to be always catered to the top, and we got a lot of small guys around here. What I'm saying is maybe we should do the same thing and start like they're trying to do with the Pro Mod thing and start letting them say, hey, if you got a 484, you know, and make the class for the 484 people. You got a lot of folks ready got a 484 motor versus a five inch or a 5.2 or 5.3 motor. See, that's the way it's what they're doing right now with the bigger tire car. They've been a grouping. A lot of people haven't heard about it yet, but trust me, it's happening. It's being talked about. And if you, for instance, we have a chassis car race. Around here, we run everything. But when we start trying to travel, they start trying to stick cars on you that you know you don't compare up with. And, you know, you want to get in a shootout, you stick here. So, therefore, let's take myself. I have a car, okay? I call my car a top sportsman car. But I can't go nowhere and get in a top sportsman race the way it is right now because they said no. If you got a 5-inch motor, you're a pro car, you're not a top sportsman. So they stick you in there with all the 5.2 and 5.3 motors, you know. But
yeah,
if you got a top sportsman car and you got a 4.4 in it, you're good. But that same guy with that 5.2 or 5.3 can have a backhand car, you still can't compare up with it. So
yeah,
I'm just throwing information out there to see what do we think. What do we think about it? We got to start giving our input. But we said back,
no.
We just going to be following suit. We got to be able to give you input, man, and try to get an understanding of this. So it's a lot of people on here, and I'm just putting information out here because that's what's happening. I mean, it's like just follow suit.
But it depends on what you're building your car for, once again. You know,
it's
a grunge
car.
You
said, a grunge car. This is a grunge car.
I know, but what I'm saying, when you start putting it in categories, you start putting it in class.
That's what I'm trying to get you to see right now what's going on before your eyes, and I'm trying to open you up to it. That's what's happening.
What I'm saying, Tracy, you're right. What I'm saying, it depends on what you're building your car for. Some people don't care about that. But what I'm saying is some people build their cars for straight-out grudge, and they don't want you to know what they got. All they want to do is get up there and try to make the money, man. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
A lot of times they're stopping a race. So if you pay attention to what's happening, a lot of times they're stopping a race, and so to automate the race, that's why if you look up what's popping up is people doing shootouts. Because shootouts give people a chance to, you know, win some money with less risk of putting up their own money. You got promoters having shootouts at their race, which is a good thing because they give a fan, they try to assure the fans something to see in each class. So that's good for drug racing. It's good for the fans. But then as you do the shootout, what I'm telling you is they starting to try to group them based on what kind of application. We don't know what size motor nobody got. But if you know what you're looking at, you can look and you can pay attention. You can go over there and you can tell the difference between a 5-inch motor versus a 5.2 or 5.3 motor. So therefore, you know, a person can tell where they can group you. You're not eligible to get in this shootout because you got a 5-inch motor, you have a 4.84 motor. So what I'm saying is we need to start paying attention and being aware of this stuff, man, because it's happening the same thing with the backhand stuff. So I'm just throwing it out there and trying to bring some knowledge and want to go to the line and see what some of the other folks have to say. Batman, me and you done shared what we thought, and let's go to the line and see what some of these other folks.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask a question before I get off. I ain't going to say nothing there. So you mean tell me a smaller motor is not can't outperform a bigger motor? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No. Anybody can win. Let me give you an example. Take the hired car. Okay, let's take the hired car.
Okay.
Now let's take Nightmare car.
Okay.
Now, those cars, which one got the better chance of winning?
Man, you really can't get the crap over those cars, though. You can't get the crap over those cars together.
That's what I'm trying to tell you right there. See how you jumped on that? You can't compare those. That's what's happening. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You can't compare them. You see, you caught that right off. What I'm saying is this. Say, for instance, just say this if I had a 5.3. If I had a 5.3, okay, I say I got a top sports going, and I'll trade you out from up. You got a 5-inch, you automatically right in the grill. Remember, we talking grudge racing, folks. We talking in the grudge scene when you start going and people going to start traveling around and try to put these shootouts. They going to start characterizing you as based on what you got, not knowing what cubic inch you got, but based on you got a 5-inch, you out there running in there with all the 5.3s or the 5.2s. Do you think that 5-inch motor stand a chance? Both of y'all making the trip with that 5.3.
But this is what I'm saying, is that's what grudge is about, the unknown, man. That's what grudge stands for, is unknown, man.
Let me show you something. You're saying that right now. A guy called you last night and I was on the show. A guy called you and said you had a big tire on your car. And the guy had a smaller tire on his car, and he told you, let's do something. You didn't look at it the same way. So I'm just trying to get you to pay attention. Don't say it on here and make it look good when the same guy came at you with a situation with a smaller tie and you had a bigger tie, but you feel like, no, that wasn't a good race. I'm just trying to bring knowledge and education to you, man. Look what's happening. Don't try to make it look, oh, you just got to take a chance. You just got to take a chance because it happened time and time again with you and your situation. You know last night you heard him. He kept coming at you, right? You know what you got. You know exactly what you got. And you know what this guy got. Actually, you got a better setup than what he got. But for some reason, you knew that you didn't like that race. I guarantee
no, I
you.
I knew that he was probably faster than me. See, it, like I said once again, it's grudge is the unknown.
The only way you would know that is based on what you thought you had.
Tracy,
yeah.
can I open up a mic real quick?
Yeah, Batman, I'm trying to get some of the other people. I don't want to take it up with me and you. I kind of want to get some of the other people to see what they think because it's happening. That's why I fight and lobby so hard for Birdman and them to get in the back half. Right now, he's eligible. If they want to go to North Carolina and run that 10,000 race next week, he's eligible.
Let me ask you one question. Hold on.
Wait a minute, Sharon. Hold on. I'm going to just make my point. Right now, based on what I've been fighting for the Birdman car, at one point in time when we went to Rockingham, he wasn't eligible to get in it. But based on right now, they want to invite him over and he's eligible. So what I'm saying is we got to fight for what we want to do, what we believe. We just can't fight a suit with everything they're doing. That's the education and understanding I'm trying to bring to people out this way. We got to step up and fight for it just as well. Okay, go ahead and share. See what we got.
Jimmy Moreno, your mic is open.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's up, Jimmy?
How's it going out there?
What's up, Jimmy? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You all probably know I got my opinions on this whole deal. I got some opinions and
let,
you know.
Jimmy, let me give you an introduction because a lot of folks on here don't know who Jimmy Moreno is. I'm going to introduce Jimmy Moreno is a guy from the East Coast out in Florida. If anybody kept over the end of the back, the racing, him and Nod is in the same camp. They had the Mustang called a Silver Bullet, a pretty good running car. And Jimmy Moreno would tell you, we're going to let him give you his version on that same stuff because he's sitting in the same situation as what I say I'm sitting into. So Jimmy Moreno from Norris Camp, I had fought him and Big Low. He's with that whole group out there. Go ahead, Jimmy.
All right. You know, my opinion, and this is just my opinion, but a motor doesn't classify a car in grudge racing. You can't say, you know, and I'll use the example that fits me the best. You can't say a top sportsman car has a 484 or a 5-inch or 5-inch and bigger is a pro mod now. The car, to me, if you're going to classify cars, it isn't the motor that classifies that car. It is the car that classifies that car. And what the gentleman was saying a few minutes ago, you know, what race you want to get into has to do with who's faster. It don't matter if you got better stuff or worse stuff. It is all about who's faster, but if you're going to try and classify cars to run these belt shootouts, these shootouts in the belt races, you have to do it logically. You have to do it based on what really it is, which is the car, not the motor. Because like he was saying, you could have a turbo car with a small block or a nitrous car with a 484 or a nitrous car with a 5.3. You got three totally different combinations. Well, if you're going to use Top Sportsman as an example, I don't see where any of those can't be a Top Sportsman if the car is a Top Sportsman car or back half or any other classification that you want to come up with. I don't see where, and we'll use what suits me again, a 5-inch motor. Now, you've got a 5-inch motor and a true Top Sportsman car, then it's a Top Sportsman to me. You got a 5-inch or a 5.3 in a true back half car, in a back half car. Then, and to me, a back half car, my opinion, is if it doesn't have a stock firewall in it, it ain't a back half car. That's your in stock front, stock style bolting front suspension.
Jimmy, I heard something. I don't want you to get too far away from it. Your opinion, Top Sportsman, ProMod, what's the difference?
Well, honestly, the difference is, and you can ask, to get the real answer, what you should truly do to get an unbiased answer is talk to a chassis builder. And if you call, who's a big chassis builder out by you guys? Somebody that's respected out in Texas. I don't know who you got out there.
John Harrison, Jackie Devers.
Ask Tim Smith to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the deal. If you ask any one of them, anyone, call Jerry Bickle, and you ask him the difference, what is the difference if you were to build me a brand new, what is the difference in a car if you're going to build me a new Top Sportsman car versus building me a new Pro Mod car? Let him tell you the difference. What he's going to tell you, and it's hard to regulate, I understand it's hard to, but this is truly the difference. It's going to be motor position in the chassis. It's going to be wheelbase. And it's going to be the number of, it's going to be how stout they build the car for what kind of power. But mostly wheelbase and motor position in the car are going to be the biggest differences between that car being a Top Sportsman car and that car being a Pro Mod car. Now, It isn't gonna be what motor you put it in. It isn't gonna be if it has a Camaro body versus a Cavalier body.
Okay, Jimmy, I wanna stop you. But I wanna ask you this. because it affects you. Now, you know you've been trying to run for the grudge top sportsman belt. And you just said you got a top sportsman, correct?
Correct.
Now, you've been trying to run for the top sportsman belt. Now, what is the latest to come to you and tell you about how they're going to do the top sportsman? Well, you know you got a top sportsman.
This is what I'm told. I know that I have a top sportsman. I know that it is. Listen, if I could run with the pro mods and I truly had a pro mod, anybody who knows me will tell you I'd be jumping on every pro mod I could because I'm going to race where I sit. If I'm not good enough to compete and I have that equipment, then too bad. But I'd rather race up. But to answer your question is, I was told that we legitimately, as soon as the top sportsman belt title shot to from Dolomite and Stone Cold, as soon as that race goes off, the first person to put up a deposit of $500 with a recognized VP man gets the next shot. But I was also told that some rules are going to be put on that come first of the year, and if I don't get in before then, the rules may push me out. And the rules would be that they're going to push me out is, from what I understand, are they're going to designate top sportsmen, and this is rumor. Rumor says they're going to designate top sportsmen as 484 motors only. Well,
exactly.
Now to me, you need to quit calling it top sportsman because that's not what it is.
Right. And that's why
you can call it something else. You can call it whatever you want, but it's not top sportsman. And that's the problem. But the other thing I heard. Yes, go ahead.
Are you faster than both of those dogs you just named?
I think absolutely. I can beat them? And do I think I'm faster? Absolutely.
Do you think you're fast?
Yes.
They must think you're faster too, because I promise you this: every time somebody's fast in a class, they change the rules. They do it to push that guy out, man. I give you a good for instance. When Kenny Boyd, back in the day when they had the King of the Hill, Kenny Boyd had brought his car out. He was running 450s with this thing. They pushed that man right out that class because he was kicking everybody's ass in Dallas, Texas.
But let me put turn it around on you. Now, in my opinion, and this ain't a hit against nobody, I don't want any of the people involved in this to take it the wrong way. And I mean no offense to any of the people that are involved. But I believe, to answer your question, I believe if I gave them my car and took their car, give me 2 weeks with it and I'm going to be faster than them. They can run my car, I'll race them with their car. That's my opinion. So you're right. I think they push you out because they think you're faster. I think that's true. And I think that you're turning it into... First of all, the other rumor I've heard is they're going to make an extreme top sportsman. And
right.
my response to that is, okay, so based on what I do know today, me and Atomic Dog we're going to race each other everywhere we go. Because there's two
right.
of us. We're two people are being pushed out that I know of. Who else is going to race with us? You know, I might as well move to Texas. Or I'm not going to get a race with anybody. Now, and quite frankly, this is a customer's car I'm looking at racing with, which is a true top sportsman car. It was built as top sportsman to begin with. It ran NHRA top sportsman for 4 years, and then it sat around for a few years and then got sold to a guy that I work on it for. It's never run a pro mod deal. It's... You know, it is what it is. It's a true top sportsman car. It's got a really small, and I don't care that anyone knows this. You know, I know a lot of the grudge guys don't want people to know what they got, but it's got one of the smallest 5-inch motors you can build. Okay, and it's a small one. It isn't a 762 or 787 or 801 or nothing like that. And the difference, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, the fact is the difference between a 484 motor. And a 5-inch motor is not even comparable
if you were in comparison to a 5-inch to a 5.2 or a 5.3. It's not even, it's physically, a 5-inch motor is physically the same size as a 4.84 motor. You take a tape measure, a micrometer, you can measure that motor, and it's the same size. You go to a 5.2, the motor actually grows and gets longer than a big block Chevrolet. The motor plates have to move in the car. Other stuff has to happen. A 5.2 motor is a modified motor. A 5-inch motor is strictly, they drilled the bores in the block, in the same block, a little, a very slight bit further apart to keep cylinder wall deflection from happening. And that's the difference in them. Other than that, they're not much different than a 4.84 motor. Have people spent more time on them and learned more about them? I think so, as far as really beating on them. But we've got some 4.84 motors that run pretty damn good. There just doesn't happen to be one in this car, and we're not going to go buy a 4.84 motor just to do this. We'll just go race somewhere else if that's the case. The owner's not going to go build a new motor, a smaller 4.84 motor, just to go try to run some shootouts.
I mean, you're asking exactly, you hit the nail on the head is what I'm trying to get guys to understand, what they're trying to do and what these belts coming out and what to shoot at. It's a lot of people like it, man. It's a popular thing that is coming up. People want to run for the belt, so people want that recognition. People want to try to get that little extra money, but they're pushing certain folks out. That's why I brought up about the old school pad. You know, we got a lot of them around here. These guys are not going to have it's not going to really be a spot for them. You know, when you got the guys that got the old style back half versus the guys that got the modified back half today, you know, it's we just got to speak up. We can't get left
Atomic Dog, I got one more point to make, and I got to ask this. If I had the belt and someone came to me with a 5.2 motor, what would I want to do? Would I run them? And my answer is 100% yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what they got, because here's the advantage of having the belt. Is when you have the belt, you get to pick the time and the place, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm going to do, you line me up against a guy I don't think I can beat, and the other gentleman just asked that, do I think I'm faster? Put me in against somebody I don't think I'm faster than, and let me race them. And we're not bowing down, we're going to race them. We're going to pick the time and the place that suits us best for the race we have to race. Now, if I'm running, let me throw one out there, Stevie Jackson with his Pro Mod, with his Allen Abbey car. Well, guess what I know? I know that my best chance of beating Stevie Jackson in his ADRL Pro Mod is to put him on a track that he's not used to racing on. To put him on a track that and I'm going to put him in a situation where I have my best shot at winning. You can't classify cars without making a million rules to make them all equal. We can't do that. We're not going to do that. But once you have the belt, defend it, and defend it what suits you the best, but defend the damn thing. You can't sit on it. And you're going to have to race people faster than you. It's going to happen. And you're going to know they're faster. Now go do your job. Do the best you can. And if you lose, go recoup, get back on your feet, and go after it again. Because if one person has it forever, then it's not doing its job. It's not creating races. And that's the point of the belt to begin with.
You sound like a grudge racer, man. That's what a grudge
racer
sounds
like. He ain't a grudge racer. What do you mean?
You're a real true grudge racer, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
Jimmy Moreno is a grudge racer. You don't know nobody, man?
Well, what I'm saying is this is, the talk that he's talking, that is a real true grudge racer, what he's saying, because exactly what he said, I would put him on a track that I know he can't go fast on. And I know I can. You're right. That's what I would do.
Let's go. Hey, let's go to the lines and see what some other folks out there. Hang on, Jimmy. Somebody might have a question for you. But this is the stuff we want to put out there, man. It's the same thing applies in this back half and there's a screen back there. So let's go to the lines, Cheryl, and see what we got, see what they got to say.
C-Red, your mic is open.
Yeah, thank you. Once again, Bobby, this man ain't talking about competition and heart. He's talking about the rule changes that's going to affect cars like Nightmare. So the car, we can't race Pro Mod, so we never got a chance at number one in a lot of cars like us. So what do we get classified? And this man is trying to explain it to you. We all know about the Hall of Grudge race. Come on, brother. This man talking about the rules. Go ahead and finish telling us about the rules, Tracy, so we'll know if we decide to take this car on the road, how they're going to reclassify us, and you can hang me up.
So what I'm understanding is, what I'm understanding, grudge, it ain't no rules.
What I'm trying to tell you, man, is what's happening, they're trying to create rules to fit these belts. So this is what I'm trying to bring the knowledge out. Like the Nightmare guy say, they want to travel. How is it going to affect them? What I'm saying, the way it go right now for the back half there, the type of car that they got, they're going to always be behind the eight ball because of the type of car that the back half built, what's out there right now. The back half built, Matt Jones now got three of them. The Nightmare car, the type of car that they got, to step up there to run against the Birdman, the Nightman, the Shadow, the Beast, and all those type of cars, it kind of leaves Nightmare in the dark. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's what the guy just said. How can he fit in with them? How can he possibly travel with his car other than just do a grudge with somebody and fit in these shootouts?
But the thing is like I said, you're talking about cars that's twice as big as and faster than Nightmare. He ain't gonna never fit in. That's what that is. Just be honest about it.
Let me explain something. If they do, you heard Jimmy say it and I said it. If they do what they're trying to do right now, and say if a top sportsman is a 44, and if you take people, which you got people like Travis Tour, Nightmare, Off the Chain, you got people like that. Those guys, you got to remember. If it comes to existence, which I'm telling you, that's what they're pushing for. If it comes to existence for these shootouts and these belts, the only way you can make those the guys fit is like they're trying to do with the top four of them. If they say, hey, you got a 4840, you are right. Because I always go back there with a 4840. Because other than that, man, they're not going to fit. They'll never be able to compete in there for a shootout with the cars, the Birdman, the Jumping High. Those guys can go up.
It's boiled down to how fast you are.
That's not what they say. Is this nigga down?
Cliff, your mic is open.
Go ahead, Cliff.
Talk to somebody else.
Okay, go ahead, Cliff, Sharon.
Off the Chain, your mic is open.
What's up, Charles?
Okay. I'm going to the next one, Tracy.
Okay.
Jackie Dewberry, your mic is open.
Hey, I agree with what Jimmy said. You can't really classify a car by the motor as Fox Sportsman or Pro Mod. You have to look at the chassis first of all. And as far as this back half stuff goes, we kind of sorted that out around here a long time ago. You're going to have the extreme back half, which is the king of the hill style cars that are just built like elite style back half cars. Then you're going to have what they call up here the old school back half. And just calling an old school back half, that's not running anybody down. That just means the car's got a complete factory firewall, and it's got the factory floor in it behind the seat.
That's
an old school back half car. Now you got some of these other cars under the elite rules that have to have 18 inches of factory firewall, and they have to have the factory frame section to the front of the spindle, and then after that, it's a Pro Mod car. So, that's how you're gonna change that up to make that a fair playing field. As far as old school versus, elite back half. And as far as the top sportsman deal y'all we're talking about, we got that covered too. We got a top sportsman index style race. We got an automatic Pro Mod race, which covers anything from fast top sportsmen to slow Pro Mods like myself. And then you got the all-out Pro Mod. So,
Jimmy, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When I heard you say on the promo deal, you said they got it covered. Okay, how do they class that? Say, how do they distinguish the difference from what you just said versus what you got versus All Out?
Well, I don't run the automatic promo, but to my understanding, and I may be wrong, Tracy, but to my understanding, an automatic promo is anything with an automatic and a nitrous motor. And as far as the blown cars go, they're limited to you're not allowed to run a screw blower, and you got to stay with a root style blower with an automatic transmission with a torque converter. You got to have a torque converter. And I understand the fast guys are running torque converters today, but I mean that's how that started out. And that's kind of how that class has been running. And from my understanding, man, they've got big turnout coming out to watch you guys run. So, I mean, the class is obviously doing fairly well. People's coming to see them late.
Yeah, I mean, it's just information we're putting out here just so we can have understanding, don't be left in the dark of what's going on and wonder why people are doing it. So, okay, we appreciate that, Jackie. We're going to go to another call and see what they got to say. What's that?
Suvi, your mic is open. Suvi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, there you go.
How you doing, Ms. Sharon?
I'm fine, Suvi.
That's good. I'm working down. I didn't even press the button, but that man ain't gonna miss nobody, so y'all ain't got to worry about him.
What did you say, Doobie? I didn't quite understand you.
I said, y'all ain't got to worry about my back, man. He ain't going to listen, but all he's going to do is talk about it, so y'all ain't got to worry about him. Batman, you coming out now, no phone room in November?
Batman, Doobie is addressing you.
Hey, dude, get your mic without that noise. We're going to close this. You got a lot of noise. It might be you. Somebody got a lot of noise. Okay, Sharon. Let's go to the next call.
Okay, you don't have any new hands up. There is a lot of background noise with somebody. I'm going to try off the chain again. Off the chain. Your mic is open.
Charles, that's you.
Flip, mic is open.
Look on Flip.
Hello?
Flip, your mic.
Hey, y'all there?
All right.
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, Hey, I hate the fact you got me before I had a chance to speak, but, yeah, pretty much the old school and the extreme is kind of the only way you can really divide these cars, because you're right, Tracy. You know, hot will never run Nightmare unless they race it like Yellow Belly or something. But you're talking more about trying to bring action to the fans. And really, if the fans ain't there, you know, you ain't going to have too much left. So, you know, maybe there is a – because I'm familiar with the North Carolina deal and the Florida deal where they kind of limit these cars on the book space. Or you could do it by tire size or weight. But you really can't call some of these newer built back half cars. You can call them an extreme back half, but you can't really call them what a back half is. But my question is, and anybody listening, the problem here is what do you really define as a true back half car? Because if you go to the East Coast, like you said, there's a different definition of what a real back half car is or what some would consider a back half car. And that's the problem. When we travel out of state, you know, some cars are considered back half cars, some cars aren't. But there's no organization that has come up with any set of rules, and I already hear Byron now, you know, don't make rules, this is good racing. That's true, but you got to have some kind of guidelines that everybody that is building a car, has a car, they know kind of where they fit. It would suck, like you said, to show up at a place and automatically people start trying to find excuses of why they're not going to run you. So there's got to be some kind of set of guidelines. And maybe you don't do it with motor size, maybe you do, maybe you do it with weight, maybe you do it with tire size, but something's got to happen because you're thinking about, you're dealing with 3 and 4 generations of racers three and four generations of race cars that are still around. Honestly, my car is not nowhere near what some of these back half and or extreme cars are and how they're built, weight-wise, build-wise, all that stuff. So it's like, how do you classify this to make sure that everybody finds action? You know, I mean, I get your point, Tracy. I get your point, Tracy. You know, you're trying to make it to where, at the end of the day, when people show up, they didn't wait around all night for one race. So I get the whole deal about trying to make action and trying to give people guidelines so when you show up to a track, you kind of know where you fit. I mean, and, you know, as far as ET and all the other stuff goes, you know, a race is a race no matter what. Anything can happen. Yeah, we get all that. But there's got to be some set of guidelines for people who are building cars or have cars built so that you don't just get a pro mod, call it a top sportsman, and jump in top sportsman. Because from my understanding, unless you rip out a tape measure on every car that shows up, you're really not going to be able to tell the difference between a top sportsman car and a pro mod car. I mean, you get what I'm saying, Tracy?
Yeah, man, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying it up amazing idea because, man, you know, these shootouts are good, man. Shootouts are good for the game. Man, these vets are good. They give people shootouts. And spectators like to come out and see people run for this type of stuff. So what I'm saying is when it's happening, you won't try to get people to travel from state to state. And we go crazy if people come here. You want to make sure that guys kind of have an understanding, man, okay, what am I going to pay if I want to get in? Every guy don't have the money to go out to bet the $5,000 on a race. But, man, they got a shootout out there for $2,500 or $5,000, a guy say, hey, man, only cost me $250, $500 to buy in. Or it might be a free entry fee. You got a guy to go take a shot at that. You know, but you want him to have a chance. You don't want to go out there like, you know, for instance, we were talking about on the top sportsman deal, me and Jimmy both, we thinking about, you know, I'm the same way, was going at that top sportsman, Grudge Bell. Okay, but, hey, we winding down getting close to the end of the year. If you don't do it now, guess what? It's changing. And so we're bringing the conversation up to why, to where we can give our input on it because it's going to automatically group guys like, you know, hey, we need to do something different or just stay on the side and try to, you know, find your man or whatever. But it's going to take you out of the shootout. You got to go, like you say, if you go to a shootout and it's tracking pretty good, hey, both cars make a trip. Hey, you might get lucky, you might not, but you got these guys, you know, you got these 5.2s and 5.3s, just like you heard Jimmy say, that 5-inch motor, you better be on the right track and have tuned that guy. If not, if both of y'all on good track, you ain't going to run with that horse. I'm just telling you, you're not going to run with that horse. So, it leaves guys like this stuff out, and just like in the back half, when you got guys like off the chains, Travis or Nightmare, them guys, they just can't run with the jumping high and, you know, the motion racing, the bird, man. It's just, we want to try to create a field, man, where all these guys, we all put on events and say we're going to have this class, whether it be, hey, we're having a screen back half and we're having an old school style back half. Something where everybody can try to fit and a fan get to see more races, just trying to create something for the fans, man, and for the racers who got cars that sometimes they go to track and they're there and they can't get no race, you know. That's what it's about, trying to find somewhere to fit. Okay, Sharon, who we got? Give me another call, see what somebody else got to say. That's it for some of these guys that got some of these cars that's on this line that want to talk. Guys, push the button, give your input. Let us know what you think. You know, put it out there. Look, right now we got a guy, I'm going to put it out there, but I know this is a fact because I talked to the guy. Grudge got a Fomar belt. And Mighty Joe Young got the Fomar belt. It's a lot of guys want to go with that belt. But because of Mighty Joe Young them got that belt and they way up there in Buffalo, New York, you got people like Mike Hill, Mr. Five Speed, you know, try to challenge him for the belt. But because the guys have a control of it, they want to bet X amount of dollars, and you got guys that's not going to bet no, you know, high number. You know, you keep it reasonable, guys that come run for it, that want to run for it. But those guys won't put it up, so they have been holding on to it going on a year now. And something got to be done about that because you have a belt sitting out there, and you got guys with your promo cards that want to try to challenge that belt, they can't do it. So, man, it's all about trying to make action, trying to bring not just one style of car to the track, trying to bring multiple style cars to the track, where you can have some kind of shootout, some good racing, because everybody's not going to go and bet a lot of money in the Grower game, but they will come and participate in shootouts, man. So I'm just kind of giving information, man, how we can create more action at these events.
Hey, Tracy, let me ask you a question, Tracy. Let me ask you a question. You're talking about these belts, right? Who's on with these belts? Grudge Inc. is over all these belts that you're on, right?
Say what now?
Grudge Inc. is over all these belts, right?
Grudge Inc. got a lot of belts out there. And these guys
who's over the belt? Who makes the rules for the belt? That's what I'm asking. Okay, now let me ask you a question. You said that they got a promo belt up there, right? It's supposed to be Grudge Inc., right?
Yeah, slow down a little bit. Batman, slow down because you're going fast. I'm trying to listen hard. Come slow down a little bit. Go ahead.
I said that you said that Grudge Inc. has a promo belt that Mighty Joe Young has, right?
Yeah.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but in order for a person to get that belt, they got to bet an X amount of dollars that they want to do, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't Grudge Inc. didn't limit the money on the belt?
Okay, let me tell you how it works. Mighty Joe Young and them got the belt. Okay, on the promo belt, I believe it's $1,000 lockup money. Okay. But
okay,
the people who got the belt picked the track, all right?
Okay.
And they wanted to put up a deposit. Deposit is high. People don't want to match the deposit or what they want to run for, and so that's causing them to hold the belt. Now, they got to lock their money up. If they put their money up and lock their money up,
right,
you know, the folks got to come with deposits on that bill because Michael Young and got it. It's kind of sweet, man. What is going to do with that? So,
what should have happened then with Grudge Inc.? Should have had that rule from the jump start, but they never got that far. They never got that far. If you, I'm saying, just like Slacksville belt, just like Slack belt, just like the Hit My belt. They got all their rules, what they're supposed to do. If these rules are already enforced from the jump start, it would never come about. That's just like the King of the Hill back in the day. Let me give you a good answer. Like back in the day, the King of the Hill, Patrick Carter, was 5-0. Now, if somebody would enforce that back then and still enforce it now, it would never get out of control. See, that's the problem. When people make up stuff and they do ideas and belts and everything, they not thinking, well, we need to enforce such and such, so it won't get out of hand. So as years go by, people come with new stuff. If you enforce it from the jump start, it can never get out of hand.
That's what they did. You're right. I agree with that. When it first started coming out, man, it kind of was about the money thing, and the bill got through in there. But they have rules right now. There's some rules on it. But that one kind of slipped through the crack because at the time that it was hot, it was an action, and everybody wanted to see the race, and, you know, he happened to get away with it. So now they probably end up forcing him to turn the bill over. I had some of the conversation there. Probably going to force him to turn the bill over. Because they're hiding behind it because of the dollar amount. I mean, you know, so it's probably going to change, you know, because of the dollar amount.
Well, I can tell you this, to be honest about it. It'll be wrong for them to try to take the bet because they should enforce them from the jump start. And what they got to do now to make it right is send somebody up there with the money and knock them off. And then get the belt and then enforce
it. Batman.
Huh?
These guys ain't talking about no chump change.
I mean, but right is right, though, Trey. Right is right. You didn't enforce the rule, so you can't take nothing.
Won't you go try to get high as Bill Dane? Won't you go try to get high as Bill Dane?
It's only right, man. You can't take nothing if you didn't enforce it from the jump start.
Batman.
You got to look at me in, too.
Batman.
But I'm telling you right, man.
Batman.
I'm listening.
Why don't you go try to get high at Bill Dan?
I don't want it. I ain't gonna never get it. I'm gonna sit back and watch.
Well, that's what we the man trying to tell you that. I mean, it's a different class. It's a different class. Just like Tracy just said, man, they listen to me. We ain't talking, he ain't talking about all that shit. He just trying to tell you about knowing these events. It's a different class. What the hell, we look like $10 to $20. Wait a minute, let me say one thing.
One at a time.
Why should you come down here and throw an event back at? What the hell, we look like paying $200 on entry fee to get in that shit to run against high now? I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question. You're not asking me.
Have you ever tried in a shootout, though? Because you ain't never been in no shootout. So we don't even come to you, period.
We're not talking about no shootout. We're talking about a back-ass show. You come down here and throw a back-ass show, and it's a $200 entry fee. What?
Tracy's talking about a shootout. You ain't going to get no shootout. You don't tell me that. Many times. I'm not getting in no shootout. So I don't even call you.
We out of class any goddamn way. What the hell we look like getting in there? We can't whoop no higher name. We ain't no damn fool. We work every day. You know what the hell we look like getting out of $200 if we do something like that, it becomes a fuck. Ain't nobody gonna believe that no way. We did. We used to have old school back in with cold cars like ours in there. And you should run that shit running every night and the red line.
Man, you ain't never.
Like,
you ain't never been
in
a shootout.
Them a different class of cars. Got any
right? We done
been in a shootout, man. I mean, we done been in a shootout a whole bunch of times. Yeah, you tell me. We won one up in Denton, the back end class in Denton. Got a trophy
well,
and everything.
You may just start doing it because you show lies to me.
You ain't been around. It seems like that's what that is. But that ain't the point. The man trying to start something to put everybody in the same class. Hell, we just like running in the back half class with all the guys. If you don't stay like that, hell, that's what we're trying to get you. I ain't going to get in there. And if you stay like that, shit.
Well, let me ask you a question then. I'm going to give you a good answer to this. That Mustang of Tony Thorne, what is it considered? Because that car is the same car yours in. So what? So you can't beat him? So you're going to complain about him being in the back end too?
That car yeah. Been cut front from back. That car ain't just like mine. That car been cut front from goddamn back. Man, that car been cut from front to back. Let you tell
all right, I'll tell you, we're going to go outside and see if somebody else, Sharon, we got another head, somebody want to get input on this, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, Byron.
What that?
Byron, I'll say one thing, we're getting in something with Tony Thornton in the day before we get in something with Hyden. We got a chance with Tony Thornton. We ain't scared of that goddamn Mustang.
Huh, hey.
Troy, your mic is open.
I'm sorry. I was going to jump in. I'm going to jump back in a little bit.
Just mute your phone then.
Okay, sir.
You don't have any more hands up right now.
Okay. Anybody have any issues out here for information, man, but not as mental people and get understanding? It's about time of create action and not eliminate nobody. Well, people that bring these cars to the track. You know, you have people come to the cars, a lot of cars come to the track, and sometimes guys leave and, you know, they don't even get a race. You know, create some action to where, you know, guys can get in and give them folks a fit. We might have more action and fans get to see more. You know, you can come and put on, you know, sometimes it's about the pairs you got, man, who you got. But we don't want to try to leave nobody out, man. But it's just something that's happening, and I just want to throw it out here because trust me, you're going to hear because the first of the year is going to be coming out with different kinds of bills, different kinds of rules. So it's about information. So that's what it's about. So anybody got anything? Go ahead. I'm going to.
That's me, Tracy. I understand what you're saying, man. It's Clifford. I think it should be two sets of back halves, the true back half, old school and the true back half.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, man.
And that is simple, man. I don't know why Byron trying to make it so goddamn hard. That's real simple.
It ain't making it hard. My car don't match up with Matt Jones.
And what's up? What about them big sexy and All them other motherfuckers are bees and goddamn me the little mole and goddamn me the shadow. Them the extreme cars, man.
Yeah, we've been trying to tell Byron all the time, man. Tracy, come on the show telling him this. It's a different class of bad ass, man. Hell.
What you going to say? I told Tracy that earlier. You can't compare them cars. You right, you can't. You can't compare them cars. But what I'm saying is this, in Dallas, what I'm saying in Dallas, Texas, when everybody try to put a class together like that, no one goes to it. No one attends to it. That's what I'm saying.
Let me explain something. Let me explain something. Hold on. What I'm saying is this. That bill that Matt Jones had ran for against Birdman, that's an extreme back half bill. That's why it was allowed to run turbo cars, unlicensed cars, or blow it. You try to open it up, everybody can fit in. But at the same token, you need to do something. But the old school style, and we got a lot of cars like that around here. To give those guys a chance to have a shootout and try to participate in it as well, I think it'll create more action for the fans and for the guys who have the cars. You know, you got these guys, if you just take a look at the last 4 or 5 races this year, and just look at these backhand cars that we got, how many of them do you see race the backhand cars? Not many, but a lot of them. Yeah.
How many of you see it come through the track and don't race, period?
You do it all the time, Batman.
And you know what? You ride along with me.
Hey, Tracy.
You
want to
run me?
I lock some in.
You can't even move your
horse. That man going to be on the mic, man. Hold on, man.
Yeah.
Who's trying to lock the mic? Okay, go ahead.
Hey, that guy that was in Louisiana, that's not the same guy with the green Camaro, right? Because at the last race, he said he was like Peanut's cousin or something, and he had a green Camaro, and they were out of Louisiana. Was that same guy, Scooby, or is that a different guy?
Dooby was in Dallas. Dooby had a little Mazda.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's not the same guy. I'm trying to find some guy out of Louisiana that said he was Peanut's cousin, and we were going to do something, but at the end of the night, he decided, you know, he didn't have his car right, but I thought that was him. But while
about,
I got the
car.
Since talking to him, I'm trying to do something with him real quick. But anyways, back to the topic. Look, the point is to try to get a set of at least ground rules. I mean, I hear Byron and I hear the guys from Nightmare. They both cool as hell. But what I'm saying is that you can't see the forest because you focus on one tree. The point is like, And they hit it on the head. Make a set of ground rules, and these guys will show up and race, man. But nobody's gonna show up just to give away money. So if you either classify them by weight, and I feel you. I'm right there with you. But to me, the word the grudge race, it don't necessarily have to mean everything's unknown. At least you can know a couple things before you go in there. Like let's just say, okay, any car that weighs 2650. Qualifies for this race, okay, cool. Now you put, because a grudge race is a grudge race. To me, a grudge race just means you ain't going to show your time. Anything after that is just a stipulation. So let's say we got a grudge race, but here's the stipulation. The stipulation is you got to weigh 2650. I mean, I get what Tracy's saying. Tracy's saying that, hey, we need to make a couple stipulations to make sure that everybody's got a place to race, because just like nobody likes to show up and race, nobody likes to show up and be outclassed either. Everybody, when they show up, they want to feel like they got a fair shot. That's one reason why I'm running that 5-0 class. When I show up to that, it's like, hey, I feel like I got a fair shot. But if you at least put some stipulations behind that, it don't have to be just because you put some stipulations on a race, Byron, don't make it not a grudge race. A grudge race to me is just you don't show your time. The people in the stands don't know what you run. Most people in the stands don't care. They just care to turn on the wind light. So whether you run a 5.0 or a 4.80 or a 4.50, they don't care as long as you turn on the wind light. The stipulations is what's between you and the other guy. Well, how about you just make some stipulations that work for 20 other races? They all show up, they all put in $100, and they all race for $2,000. To me, that's how you get more action. That's how more fans show up, and ultimately, that's how we all end up winning in the end, man. It ain't just got to be about the total unknown, because if that was the case, me and you would have lined up a long time ago, Byron, but you don't want to do that either, so don't just say it. Just about
that. Byron ain't going out with nothing.
I told him he get the best tire whenever he wants. He said no dice. So obviously it ain't just about that. You know what I'm saying? And the sad thing is you know what my car runs. Yeah, my car. And you know what else? That's what it's like. Sometimes the way a car sits can mess you out of a lot of races. Because I promise you, my car is slow as hell. Everybody know what my car runs. But because it sits so low to the ground, people think it's faster than what it is. And it ain't. So not necessarily whether you are classified as a top sportsman or a chassis car, backhand car. Hell, it's just what you're going to run at the end of the day. That's what really, you know, somebody can look at you and say, you know what, I'm going to take a shot at that car. Whereas some guys be like, oh, no, that car sits too low to the ground. He automatically run this number. That ain't always the case because you don't know what they got under the hood and you don't know what kind of tune-up they're running. But you got to get back to just putting some stipulations on this. Like December 1st, if you were to say, hey, anybody weigh 2,600 or heavier, they can get in this race, I guarantee you have at least 20 cars show up. Put in $100 and race for $2,000, man, you have 20 cars show up, no problem.
Straight there.
Go ahead.
Hey, you can, man, you can have 100 goddamn cars at that track, man. And I damn just walk up on them goddamn cars and just, I'm looking at them and going over, you know, like expecting it. You know what I'm saying, Trace? From sitting one beside each other, they can tell which one is an extreme motherfucking ride, which one of them is a, you know, not extreme ride, man. But, you know, I, on something like that, I guess, you know, like you said, a lot of cars is laying around may not be extreme backhand cars, and I agree with this. Probably there's a lot of them, you know. They nice cars still, but they're not extreme like a high car or a beast car, you know, a shadow car. You know, they might not be the extreme type of backhand bills, you know what I'm saying, Tracy? But, you know, something like that, man, I guess you have to go with, like, a motor size, you know, stipulation on that. As far as weight and all that, I mean, you know, it is what it is on that. So, basically, maybe a motor size deal, you know, if you're going to try to bring some of them, you know, some of them other cars out, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to have to come kind of go with that. But, I mean, like I say, you could have 100 of them now, Tracy, and I guarantee you I could put them all together, if you know what I mean, you know, just from walking up and say, hey, Trace, that'll go with that, that'll go with that, you know, just from looking at them, man, you know, just from walking up and looking at them and going over and expecting them, you know, but other than that, like I say, man, you have to put some kind of maybe cubic inch of deal on them, man, you know, and maybe, you know, have some of them guys that, you know, do their backhand deals, you know.
I don't think we're going to know a guy's cubic inches, but all I'm really talking about is because the backhand thing is getting so. The backhand thing is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but I think it's a extreme thing. But we got a lot of cars around here that can fit, but for some reason, they can't compare. These guys got these big dollar cars, and you got a lot of other guys. They can't know where they can compare, but we want to try to help give them a place to race. That's what we talk about. So let's go to the line, Sheriff. We got Nick. I see we got some other hands up.
469-8907, your mic is open.
No, I'm just listening in.
Okay, press the one button, take your hand down for me. Please. Doobie, do you have your hand up this time?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Go ahead, Doobie.
That's like when I went to Memphis, they had a 10-5 class they ran where you can run any rear suspension, but you have to have a stock front suspension. And, you know, with a 28-10-5. And that's what you had to have. No wheelie bars. And believe it or not, it was a class that they threw at the track, and whatever you paid into the gate was your entry fee. Nothing else. Okay. All right, Julie. You know. What is this at?
I'm just throwing it out there, man, you know, to give people ideas. So we got cars sitting around, and And I think it's good when you put belts out there and put a little money out there, man, you give guys something to shoot at, because that way they don't have a whole lot of their money invested in it. They can bet a little bit on the side, but, you know, the track or the promoter's putting up something, and they kind of give them something more to shoot at, and guys like that. And I think it's a good thing. So, but we're just trying to encourage spots for some cars and make give them a place to race. Okay, Sharon, let's go to the next call.
240-8592. I believe that's Cliff. Your mic is open.
Cliff, did Cliff
on the phone? Hey, Tracy and Jackie, Byron. Byron still on the phone?
Yeah, what up,
Cliff? Byron dropped off.
Byron dropped off.
Yeah, okay. I'm just sitting back listening, enjoying the show. With I've been talking to Byron. I got this crank I'm going to send him. Try to get some of them boys off his ass, man. I don't know if he's going to race, but I'm going to send him this crank, see if it'll help him out some.
You going to get him to step it up?
What's that?
You going to get him to step it up, huh?
Yeah, I got a crankshaft he's been asking about. He's trying to build him, I guess, a bigger motor or something. So I'm going to send him this crankshaft, but what he going to do with it, I don't know.
Well,
see, not a damn
thing.
I'm
giving him a crank, man.
You say what?
Not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing.
I'm just messing with you, man. Man, you know I'm your friend.
But you put that crank in that. Hey, you put that crank in that son, bitch. I'm gonna break that motherfucker out to the real main field.
Nah, he got
that.
He,
might be
he got
a
the
power for him, man. You gotta put a crank down there, man.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sending it all the way from Maryland, so you better do something with it. But he got to have the rest of the shit. He got to have the rest of the shit to go with.
All right, man. Go. Hey, man. What? Hey, what, man? Hey, man. We appreciate everybody coming on and throwing stuff out there, man. Hey, it's all about, man, just putting information out there, man. Trying to come up with ways to make guys in the gift, make a good event, give to that, give some people something to see. The crowds
Mr.
like
Tracy,
it.
Hold on.
Place. So, hey, with that said, man.
We're going to get ready to get out of here.
Somebody just asked you to hold on. Okay, I got one question for you. Since, you know, with this whole, you know, 2 hours of this conversation was about stiffness. What are your stipulations on that 28 class y'all got in Temple?
The 28 class, man, we doing something in Temple because they hadn't had nothing for a long time when it comes to grudge. I mean, you know, that was my roots, and I did grudge down there years ago, and they hadn't really had a whole lot of grudge going on. That 28 class in Temple is open anything. It's just something, man, to give a guy place to race. It ain't nothing. It's just no chassis car. You don't have a chassis car, you win.
Most motherfuckers are going to come on down, man.
You know I don't like 28, man. That's why we ain't raced to this day. But we'll figure out.
Ain't nothing wrong with him. I ain't got a 29.5 motor, so I'm gonna steal mine.
You got it. But we'll be down there, Mr. Tracy. I just wanted to get the clarifications on the 28 to make sure what no weight.
It's wide open, man. I mean, it's wide open. You know, you got to reminisce that wood down here, man. You got guys down here with Willie balls. Just because they got Willie balls, and this guy got no Willie balls, you know, they ain't no big deal. So we ain't going to put a whole lot of stiff on this. It's a fun deal. And some of these guys, yeah, let them race, man.
Hey, Tracy.
Go ahead.
Play this clip. You still willing dealing in the cars? You still selling cars?
I haven't had none to sell in a while. You got something you're trying to sell?
Yeah, I got a small truck car. I got a 29 car. I'm trying to get rid of a little Mustang.
Send me pictures of it, man. Send me pictures of it. While you're on here, send me pictures of it. But tell the folks what you got. It might be somebody to get power, man. Give a little description of it before we go.
Okay, all right. I'll send you the racing junk number on it. It's a 91 Mustang, hatchback car. It's got a 18 degree big block Chevrolet in it. It's on 29. I give out a motor number, but nothing else.
Well,
you know,
somebody call you interested in you do that. It's a big block. It's a big block for 18 degree heads at on 29. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Send it to me and take a look at it.
Okay. I mean, it's real nice. It's real, real nice car. So.
Okay.
Is that Cliff?
Yeah.
Is that Cliff in Maryland? Is that Cliff in Maryland? Yeah, you need that crate, Batman. Is that Cliff in Maryland? Just got through talking.
I've been trying to get in touch with you, man.
Man, call me, man.
I told you I'm gonna send you that crank. I'm gonna send you that crank in the morning. Now, what you gonna do with it? I don't know.
Man, you just talking, man. I told you my cousin needs that cat. My cousin needs that crank, man.
Here you go, man.
Hey, you know I know bosses real well if I picked you out of all these bosses.
Man, I heard the boy
came back to this show.
I heard the boys getting on your ass, so I'm trying to get them off your ass.
I ain't worried about them. I'm telling my cousin need that crank. That's why I told you to on sending, man. But call me on the phone, man.
All right, I will. When I get off the show, I'm going to call you.
Call me, man.
All
Mr.
Right.
Cliff,
hey, you're
going to need more than a crank to get them off his ass. You know that, right?
Well, he needs some heart. He needs some heart on his car.
He needs some heart.
Listen, man.
Okay.
He knew better putting that mic off in that motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Say, Kim.
What's up, Slack?
Yeah, you need to hurry up. You need to hurry up and send Batman that crank because I need to see Batman every week. He calling me crying about me and him got a car just alike. But now he big and he want a hit. But you need to hurry up and get that crank down here to him so I can do something terrible to him.
What are you talking about? He need a hit? He ain't on drugs, is he?
Yeah, hey, I'm trying to tell you. Every week I just talked to him a little earlier today. See, I wasn't gonna get on this line, but he called me today crying about that he need a hit, and he said that he got a car like me. And Batman's supposed to be a racer. Only thing Batman is good at is getting on the third mic promoting. He ain't no third racer. He's not going to race nobody.
Well, he said the crank is for a customer. What you think?
I think he's lying. I'm going to tell you something about Batman. Batman is the one past wonder. You know, I think what? Batman is the king of the shakedown now.
He what?
He the king. Batman is the king of the shakedown. He comes to the track every week, make one pass in half track, and get towed off. Batman is the king of the shakedown, and I'm going to say it.
Slack, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Right. In Maryland, we have a grudge banquet every year, right? And they give out all type of different awards. So y'all need to have a banquet and get one to Batman in. They got an award for testing tune of the year. Y'all need to get that to him.
Well, I think Batman will get it.
Hey, Cliff, I throw one every year, but it ain't going to Slack.
Get that nigga
head on this show.
They going to Slack? Oh, Slack,
yeah,
the testing tune of the year?
Yeah. He got
to do
that. He got
to do
that. Easy D all over his ass.
Okay, Easy D won the last race we wrote. Me and Easy D is one and one. But one thing I can say about me, every time I come to an event, I race.
Hey, Slack, yeah. Slack, the last race I seen to you, you had a lot of smoke coming out on the bottom end.
Smoke coming out.
Hey, you burn it up, dude.
No, Slack don't want to live to see a million times. No, he just tell y'all that he have. He don't want to live. He got a can of lumen sitting over there. Goddamn self.
Good night, everybody.